Appreciate that beautiful song. Today, as I mentioned, we're going to look at the heart. And the message is simply called, Guard Your Heart. Guard Your Heart. We're going to be springboarding from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4, verse 23. As we already see, the theme for missions this coming month is the heartbeat of the mission, of our mission, the heartbeat of our mission. So we're going to look and examine our hearts today, and I pray that you're willing and open to letting the Lord take a look in your heart. What is the heart? What is the problem with the heart? And can the heart be cured? Can it be fixed? Take a look at Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Let's pray. Lord, speak to us now in your word. Help us, Father, to understand what you want to say to us. May we look at our own hearts and be willing to lay it out before you. Say, God, what is my heart like? What do you see? Help us to understand. If there's anybody here, Lord, who is uncertain of their own salvation, their own faith, God, would you work in their hearts, even right now, as I speak, that you, Lord, would bring conviction in their hearts and draw them to their Savior, draw them to Jesus, who loves them, who gave himself for them. I ask in Jesus' name. And we say, amen. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it springs the issues of life. 836 times in the Bible, the word heart is used. 836 times. And the majority of those times, it's not referring to something inside of your chest. It's not referring to an organ that pumps blood around. It's referring to something else. The majority of times. Referring to something else. It means the very center of who you are, your being. In the Old Testament, the word for heart is this word called lab. In the New Testament, the Greek word is cardia. Does cardia sound familiar? Maybe not lab, but cardia, right? When we talk about cardia, we talk about anything to do with the heart. A cardiologist, cardiograms, cardio exercise or workout. It's all heart related. And a lot of the words we get actually come from ancient Greek. And this is one of those. So 836 times we have the word for heart. But it's meant in a different way than just the organ that pumps blood. We do the same today, don't we, when we talk about the heart. When I was a child growing up, we had an expression, and it was always used when we were making a promise that was very sincere. The expression was, cross my heart, hope to die. Huh? Oh, not that, but I don't know. Cross my heart and hope to die. Do you know this last part of that one? If you're really, really serious? Huh? Something about a needle? Yes. Cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. I don't know why the needle, but that was for if it's a really serious promise. I promise, cross my heart. Really serious, cross my heart, hope to die. Super serious, stick a needle in my eye. But as we grow up, we don't say that so much anymore. Now we say things like, I love you with all of my heart. I love you with all my heart. That means with the very being of who I am, the very center of who I am, I love you. Sometimes when we're hurting, when there's sorrow, it might be expressed, my heart hurts. Or my heart hurts for somebody. The pain they're going through, my heart aches for them. Now here we are, we see in the word that we're to guard or to keep this heart. guard or keep it. Why? Why are we to guard our hearts? Well, the Bible says, because out of it spring the issues of life itself. Out of it, our decisions and what we do and the choices we make come. Things that are important to us. Who am I going to marry? Now, not me, but if you're in that position, who am I going to marry? Well, this kind of question is going to be answered by what's coming out of your heart, what's in your heart. Guard your heart, because out of it flows these issues. Decisions of morality, decisions of conscience. These things come from what's in a person's heart. And God knows this. And so he's telling us, urging us, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard it because your heart will be under attack constantly. It's under attack constantly. You must treasure it and guard it. Think in your mind, if you would, for just a moment. Perhaps a time when you were young or a child and there was this joyful innocence that you had. And perhaps at some time, maybe you can remember an event, but at some time, through the influence of another friend or somebody else, they led you down a certain path, and you can recall that that innocence and joy left and is no more. That innocence and joy left, that childlike innocence. That's kind of what happened with Adam and Eve, if you recall that story, that event. They walked with God. They talked with God. They had total freedom, abandonment. And they had joy and peace. And then along came sin. They were led into a sin. And the Bible puts it this way. It says they saw each other and they were both naked. Okay? And we kind of laugh at that one and chuckle and yeah, they were naked. But it is an expression that shows that there was something different and that innocence was gone that they once enjoyed. But I want to tell you, I believe that the good news is for a person who is walking with the Lord, for a person whose heart belongs to the Lord, belongs to God, that innocence can be there again. He can restore that kind of innocence. And so our prayer this morning, your prayer, I hope, is, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Those of you, if you've been born again, I urge you, guard your heart. Protect that heart because it's important. Out of it, all the issues of life flow. The Bible tells us. So let's answer a couple of questions. The first one is, what is the heart? What is the heart? And we're going to take a look at a few things that we see in the Bible. First of all, the heart is hidden. It's private. It's secret. No one can truly know your heart except for God. So what's inside is hidden. In the book of 1 Samuel 16, Samuel is sent by God to select a king for Israel. And so he goes to David's sons and they all come out. There's one in particular that seems to be impressive by people's standards, by world standards. He was impressive. He was a big man. He was strong. He looked like a king. And even Samuel thought, surely this is the one. This has to be the one. If there's going to be a king over God's people, he should look like this guy. But in 1 Samuel 16, 7, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So the Lord is looking at what is hidden. And this man appeared to be all that. He appeared to be qualified to be a king if anyone was, but God sees a heart and he sees something different. And from this, by the way, we see that we must be careful when judging by appearance. Amen? Got to be careful. We need to be cautious Jesus said in John 7, he put it this way, do not judge according to appearance. Simple. But then he does say, but judge with righteous judgment. All right? Do you understand that? A lot of times people say, oh, we shouldn't judge. And we must be careful. But here Jesus does say there is a judgment, a righteous judgment. Don't judge on outward appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. This is referring in particular, Jesus was talking about those who appear to have it all together, the religious people, and they like to appear very religious before the people around them, but Jesus knew the heart. He knew that which is hidden, that people couldn't see. And so he says, no, don't judge the outward appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. A judgment that sees more than just the externals, but what's going on inside. A judgment that has a moral center, but is grounded in particular theologically on the Word of God. If God has stated something, He's made judgment already. It's not our judgment. And we're not to be the judge of people, but we do judge what God has already stated. And we stand by that, stand by His Word. So the heart, first of all, we see is hidden. But secondly, we see the heart is that source of all emotions. So it's that source of emotions inside. Proverbs 12, 25. Look at this. Can we put that up? Is there Proverbs 12? There it is. Anxiety in the heart of man causes what? Depression. But a good word makes it glad. A good word. So anxiety in the heart, fear and turmoil that's going on inside the hidden part, it causes depression. But a good word makes it glad, the heart. So that's that inward part, and it's the source of all emotions. And then the next one is Proverbs 15, verse 15, and it states, all the days of the afflicted are evil. Now, listen carefully to this. I want to try to explain this. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. It's talking about a person's heart again and what it's like, the source of emotions going on. The state of one's heart determines the feelings that are produced. And so, is it any wonder that today in a culture, in a society which has put aside God, put aside God's Word and His commands, struggles so much with anxiety, depression, and other ailments? Because the heart is the one that's producing the emotions. And it's not producing the good emotions that God designed us for. But this verse says, all the days of the afflicted are evil. Notice it's not saying that there are just some lucky people who constantly have afflictions and therefore all their days are evil or bad things happening to them all the time. And then there's some lucky ones that all their days are a continual feast around a banquet. This is not what it's meaning. We all have afflictions. Anybody here not had some affliction this year already? Everyone had some kind of affliction? You know what an affliction is? Not a sickness. No. Sickness is an affliction. But an affliction is any trial, any difficulty, any problem that comes your way. These are afflictions. You ever known somebody that every day they're just afflicted, and yes, you could say all their days are just filled with problems? Is it just that they are more afflicted than everyone else? Well, sometimes it's what's going on inside the heart. A heart that is resting and trusting in the Lord and focused on the blessings and promises of the Lord, they're the ones that are going to experience the feast that it is to walk with the Lord and not just focusing on the afflictions that come our way. That's why Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are lovely, true, just, good report, and praiseworthy, and all these things, think on these things. Think on these things. Why? Because there's other things that come into our life, and if you're going to think and dwell on those constantly, then yes, your heart is going to produce emotions that just lead to saying that all of your days are filled with evil too. We all have afflictions. We all have blessings. Keep your heart focused on the blessings, focused on the Lord, focused on Him, His Word, His promises. Keep your heart on Him. Enjoy that continual feast that it is to walk with the Lord. But the heart is the source of our emotions. Thirdly, we see the heart is the source of all my thoughts. That's the source of my thoughts. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So the heart is that source of where our thoughts are going to come from. Another reason why we need to guard our hearts. We are guarding the thoughts that we allow ourselves to dwell on, to meditate upon, and we choose to meditate on other things. We choose to meditate on the Lord, on who He is. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 15. In Matthew 15, verse 11, He said, "It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man." What comes out of the mouth is what is from the man's heart. This is what Jesus is saying. The source of his thoughts. He further explains in verse 18, a few verses down, he says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." So what's coming out of the mouth of a man is showing what's happening in his heart. Verse 19, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man." And that's what's coming out of the heart. Because the heart is what produces the thoughts. What comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your mouth is what's actually in your heart. The source of your thoughts. And then we see the heart. Number four, the heart is the source of all my actions. So the heart is the source of your emotions, they're a source of your thoughts, and then naturally the source of actions, the things you do. Again, look at verse 7 of Proverbs 23. "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." In other words, as a man thinks in his heart, that's the direction he's going to go, that's what he's going to do. So the heart is the source of my actions. You want a productive life? You want a joy-filled life? We must guard this heart of ours. Guard it. Keep it carefully. Fifthly, we see the heart is the source of all your desires. The heart is the source of all your desires. Look at Proverbs 6. In warning his son, Solomon writes this about, in regards to adultery in particular. He's cautioning his son in regards to being faithful to his wife and not going down the path of adultery. He says, "Do not lust after her," the woman of adultery. "Do not lust after her beauty in your heart." So all our desires, it's based in what's going on in here. So let's summarize what the heart is, if we could. Let's summarize it. The heart is the inward center of everything that you feel, think, do, and desire. That's pretty good. The inward center of everything that you feel, think, do, and desire. I like that. So now that we've talked about the heart and what it is, what is the problem of the heart? Is there a problem with the heart? Jeremiah 17, verse 9 states this. The heart is, what's the word? The heart is above all things and desperately. Okay, so the heart, this is the problem. The heart is deceitful. The heart is wicked. Who can know it? I can't trust my heart. I have a big problem. I have heart problems. I have a heart problem. Romans 1:21 paints a bleak picture. This is a picture of those who ignore God, those who continue along the path of life of ignoring Him. And it states here, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is God's view of us who push God aside and continue to push Him aside, and our hearts become darkened. Our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts are desperately wicked, the Bible says. We have heart disease. We know it as sin. We have a sin problem, and it affects our very hearts. So is this the heart that we're supposed to guard and keep? A deceitful, desperately wicked heart with diseases of sin? Are we to protect and keep this heart? Well, I don't think so. Josh Smith said that salvation is not external reformation, but internal transformation. Being a Christian is not about reforming, a reformation of your life, but it's about a transformation. There's a big difference. Transformation is going from one thing to something else. Reformation is working with what you have and trying to clean it up and make it better. That's why at IBC, what's our symbol? What's our logo? It's a butterfly. Why do we have a butterfly? Because we think they're pretty. They're pretty butterflies, but what it signifies is the transformation. It's a transformation that God does. But with the butterfly, it goes from the caterpillar, and it morphs, it turns into a beautiful butterfly. That's a huge transformation, something completely different. And that's why we have that, to remind us that God is in the business not of reforming our lives, but transforming. Not reforming, but transforming. And this is the work that God does within us. But it begins in the heart, that wicked and that diseased heart, that deceitful heart of ours. So can my heart be fixed? This is the last question. Can my heart be fixed? Can your heart be fixed? The short answer is no. Sorry. Your heart is too diseased. It cannot be fixed, but it can be changed, and that's the good news. It can be changed. God can change your heart, and that's what we need. We live in an age, you realize we live in the most modern age that any civilization has ever lived in? You can always say that, right? We're far... we live in a modern age. I don't know if you realize that, but there's some good perks to where we live today, the time frame that we live in, and that is, one is science. We know a lot. We don't know everything. We don't need to think more of ourselves than we should. But doctors today have learned a lot about the human body, and in particular, the heart, the actual heart inside of our bodies. They can do many wonderful things with them. If they're not working well, they can put a bypass in it. They can replace the valve. They can put in pacemakers to help people keep the heart going the way it should be. They even put in stents, I hear. Yes, they can do amazing things. Our brother Archie here, a couple years ago, he had put in a defibrillator inside the heart. If the heart stops working, stops functioning, that'll kick in and jolt it back into working again. Sounds pretty cool? Yeah, he thinks that's pretty cool. I wouldn't recommend doing it just for fun, but he thinks that's pretty cool. That way he says if he's out running, playing rugby, and his heart stops, it'll just jolt and keep him going again. I don't know. But it's pretty good. But listen, there comes a time in a person's life that their heart becomes so sick and not functioning well, diseased, that the only option is to replace it. The only option is for a heart replacement, a heart transplant. And they can do that too. And it's an amazing thing to be able to change a person's heart out and give them life again. Spiritually speaking, our only option is for a heart transplant. And this is something only God can do for us. We cannot do it ourselves. We cannot reform our lives. We cannot turn over a new leaf. We cannot just try harder. We cannot just determine in ourselves to be a better person, a better Christian, whatever. It can't be fixed. You need a new heart. And God is in the business of giving you a new heart. I like the words of Ezekiel 36, verse 24. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will give you a new heart. I will change your heart. I will replace your heart. He's speaking to his people. This is what God can do. This is a wonderful, beautiful way of saying what Jesus pretty much said in John 3, verse 3. He said, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said also, something has to be changed. He called it being born again. It's a new heart, a change that only God can do inside of a person. Many of you have had that. Many of you have had that heart transplant. That's why the Bible says you must be born again. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians that if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. He's different, not just reformed. He's a new creation. You have a new heart. You're different now. So my question to you this morning is, your heart worth protecting? Is your heart worth guarding or keeping? Like we first read in Proverbs, guard your heart, for out of it the issues of life flow. Do you need to guard it, or do you first need a new heart? Christians here with me this morning, maybe you've been born again, God gave you a new heart, but my question is to you, are you guarding and protecting that? Are you watching it? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you staying close to Him? Guard your heart. Don't give up. Don't let up. In closing, I'm going to share Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus is speaking again. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is sobering verses. Every time I hear this, it bothers me. There's a word that bothers me a lot, and that is in verse 22 that says that first word. Do you see that first word in verse 22? Many. Many. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? And then he will declare to many, I never knew you. That many means that there are most certainly people in this church that are going to be of that many crowd saying, Lord, didn't we do all this in your name? And there's going to be some here that he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. That bothers me. And I hope it bothers you. There's going to be many, maybe there's people here right now that for whatever reason, they think they're okay with God because of their faithfulness to church or even their service. These people were serving, they were casting out demons and prophesying, and he still didn't know them. It's not about your service. It's not about your reforming your life. It's about what God has done in you. And he is the one who gives a new heart. Have you been truly born again? Is the question. Do you know for sure that you are right with God because he is the one who's given you a new heart and you are a new creation? Have you truly been saved? You must be saved. Jesus says, unless you're born again, unless you have that new heart, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And maybe there's many here that are a part of this mini crowd. And I urge you, examine your heart. Are you in the faith? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you came to him in sincere faith and said, Lord, I can do nothing except trust you and ask you to forgive me of my sin? Christians, maybe you have trusted the Lord, you've been born again, you have a new heart. Are you guarding your heart? Are you keeping that heart pure before the Lord by walking with him? That innocence and the joy that comes from a heart that is walking pure before the Lord is a wonderful thing. Don't let that go. Maybe there's some of you who haven't been guarding your heart. I urge you this morning to come to him in confession. And may your prayer be, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Would you stand with me, please? Whatever your particular needs are, I ask you to listen to the Lord this morning. I'm inviting you now to respond to what he is speaking to you about. Whatever your need is. Maybe it's for salvation. Maybe you've been a part of church for a long time. Maybe you've even served in a church. But in your heart, you realize that you have never come to true faith in Jesus Christ. You've never repented. You never asked him to forgive you of your sins and create in you a new heart. Give you a new heart. Transform you into a new creation. That happens. Whatever your need is, I urge you to respond. Father, Lord, I pray that your word would indeed not return void, but it would accomplish your will this morning. Lord, may your people be changed through the word. May they, Lord, be responsive to it. May all of our prayers be, Lord, create in me that clean heart, a heart that belongs to you, a heart that you have changed. May we guard that heart, keep it protected. May we walk with you. If there's anyone here struggling in their salvation, Lord, may they come and receive Jesus today, right now, in Jesus' name. And as the music plays, if you need to come, step out where you are. If you need to pray with somebody, just let me know. Take me by the hand. Pastor Ken, I want to talk with somebody. But come now. In the next few minutes, the invitation is open, and I ask you not to wait. Come to him. Come to him. Come. A few moments. And Lord, I thank you for your word to us. Lord, your word does say, you said, that many will come in the last day and say, Lord, didn't we do many good things in your name? And your response to many will be, depart from me, because I never knew you. Oh, Lord, I pray that if there are any struggling in their mind with their relationship with you, that, Lord, you would reach them, that they would not be part of that crowd of many. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that we, Lord, would guard and keep our hearts, because out of it the issues of life flow. May our hearts, Lord, the innermost being of us, walk with you, be in your word, be faithful and obedient to you each day. May you be able to use us for your work and your purposes. As we go into Missions Month, Father, I pray that we would have the right heart, the heartbeat of missions, Lord, that we would love the Lord our God. We would love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, may this be our motivation for all that we do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to take a seat if you would, please, as we have a few announcements that we must hear.
Thank you for the message this morning. If you have your bulletins, let's look on the inside pages, just a few announcements that we'd like to share with you. First of all, you'll notice that there's an insert into your bulletin. This is getting us ready for our Missions Month that starts next week. We're going to kick that off on Saturday night or Saturday evening, afternoon evening at 5 o'clock from 5 until 7:30. And that's with an international missions dinner. So what we'd like for you to do is to, first of all, make plans to attend and be here on Saturday, and then bring a dish, maybe from your country, something that's special that would represent your culture. Bring that, bring enough for your family, bring enough to share with others as well. And then on that Saturday night, we're going to have dinner together. We also have a guest speaker, Pastor Michael Mani from Fiji, one of the missionaries that we support. So he'll be speaking and helping us to prepare ourselves to kick off the whole month of August for our mission. So that's Saturday night, 5 o'clock right here. And then, of course, Sunday morning is the kickoff to our missions conference. Pastor Michael Mani will be here for that Sunday as well. We also have the Christian Christmas Carol. This is for the program that's coming up later in the year, Christmas time, and we're still looking for people who would like to be involved in that. Would you like to mention anything about that, Gretchen?
Yeah. So if you want to be an extra in the film portion of the play, this is your last chance to come along and to be a part of it. Just show up at 2 p.m. at the church next Sunday. We will be getting sorted. We will be doing our costumes and makeup and hair and that sort of thing, and instructions on what we are going to be doing once we get over to the location, which we will hopefully try to carpool there. If you want to be a part, just come along in your costume. Women will wear something like this, a long skirt or a long dress. And men will wear white tops, maybe like this, but more manly. And some long pants, gray or brown or green. And if you want, any accessories are up to you. So Victorian era accessories might be something like suspenders or top hats or mustaches or some nice furry coat, something like that. Any extras is up to you, it's optional. But please come along. Some of you may have lines, some of you don't need to say anything, you just sit in the background to fill in a room. It's all up to you, but please come along. We need lots of people, lots of participation. Thank you.
Thank you, Gretchen. She does that well. She uses a lot of descriptive words. That's good. We also have a ladies' Bible study coming up on Friday. This begins on the 18th of August. It's at 7 o'clock. And the books for that study, the study is called Seeking Allah and Finding Jesus. The books for that is approximately $20. And if you're interested in being a part of that ladies' Bible study, then see Pastor Ken's wife, Jennifer. She will be here next Sunday, so you'll be able to ask her about that. We're also praying for our missionaries, Wayne and Kirsty Smith. This is our missionaries to South Africa that we have supported now for a couple of years. And of course, you remember not long ago, they had the big flooding as well as the storms. A lot of difficulty in that area, so continue to pray for the Smiths. And then also our missionaries, whose letter we post in the back. Each of those missionaries and their newest letters are posted in the back. Well, I think that's all of the announcements that we need to share, other than just let me mention one thing to you. A watch was found earlier this morning, I think during the first worship service or maybe in Sunday school. If you know of someone that's lost that watch, if they'll just check with us at the office and we'll have that for them. I think that's all of the announcements, though. Before we are dismissed, let's take some time and honor people with birthdays and anniversaries this week. Anyone celebrating a birthday this week? Anyone with a birthday or anyone that we missed from last week? Anyone with a birthday? No birthdays? See, Charlie had his, he was here earlier this morning, but I think he's in the back helping now. Anyone else with a birthday? Oh, who are you pointing at over here? I see Ariel, come on up. Come on up, Ariel. She didn't want to. Anyone else celebrating it? Trixie? Oh, I'm sorry. when it's being pointed out, it's hard to ignore anymore. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else pointing that I don't see? How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone celebrating wedding anniversaries this week? No? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, and then we'll be dismissed. Happy Birthday.
Let's be dismissed. I look forward to seeing you come out on Saturday and bring a nice dish to share. It's going to be a great evening and kickoff for our missions month this year. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us once again. And I thank you for being back here at home with this church family of mine. I pray, Lord, that we would leave this place everywhere we go, that we would represent Jesus Christ well, that we would be the church in our community, in our work, wherever. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. You're dismissed.